You want hockey? We got it. Your official home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. KRLV Las Vegas. Now, time for the official Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM.
Down towards the near corner, Cody Eakin goes in shorthanded, feeds in front, score! It's Carlson! William Carlson shorthanded. Miller, right point shot, score! Tipped out in front, and it's 4-0 Vegas! Here comes Lindbergh, going to get ahead of the defense. He pulls it away, goes circle, he shoots, he scores! Oscar Lindbergh! Now a breakaway, here's David Perron, all by himself, the righty down the middle, fakes, backhand, score! David Perron, 1-0 Vegas! Here's Hunt, setting up his man in front, Carrier, score! It's his first goal, William Carrier, 7-0 Vegas.
And welcome in to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Clayton Hamilton here along with Frank Harnish and Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace on a game day. It's going to see the Vegas Golden Knights play their first game against the Minnesota Wild right here on the 30th, the last day of November. Welcome in, fellas. Good to see you, Frank.
Yeah, it's good to be here once again, and good to be back in the saddle and looking forward to seeing the Golden Knights out there with the public tonight for the first time in a while for myself instead of just sitting on my couch and watching every game. And, well, luckily I'm not in position to throw things at my TV right now because it costs too damn much money.
That's right. 4:30 pregame. Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Frank Harnish, and I be at Parkway Tavern here on West Flamingo, just down the street from the station. So looking forward to that. And welcome in, Ryan.
How's it going, bud?
It's going good.
Yeah.
It's going good.
You know, it's funny that Perron and Carrier are back-to-back goals on our open. It's like the curse of the open, man. Like Shipachev, he's on the open. He retires. Perron is on the open. He gets hurt. Carrier gets hurt. We're a curse.
Well, wait a minute. I started the Open with William Carlson, and he's done nothing but score 13 goals this season. So maybe it's a reverse curse for him.
I'm being selective to prove my point.
So you're saying it's a myth like that Sports Illustrated jinx where everybody says, oh, the Sports Illustrated covers a curse, and I believe Michael Jordan and Muhammad Ali were on it more than anybody else, and they had pretty good careers.
I could be wrong, but I wasn't the very first highlight to ever put on there. Marc-Andre Fleury with a save. Was that not?
I would assume that it had to be.
No.
We didn't have an open right away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We had the original version of Alice Cooper's Poison as the open, the first one I made had, because Flurry hasn't played since I started making the opens.
That's good. Just don't tell you. Don't put any opens with me on it. I'd like to stay healthy.
So. Yeah, if you could just refrain from using Malcolm Subban.
Oh, so wait a second. You're saying that's the problem? My name was in the open?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying. There's something, too.
Chapman's trying to kill me.
Something, too.
Well, you know what they say. It's the only way to move up in the world sometimes, right?
You damn near made it, my friend.
It's going to be a good day today. As we said, the Golden Knights up against the Minnesota Wild. They have the Winnipeg Jets tomorrow. We're going to have Jamie Hirsch from NHL Network. She's going to join us in the second segment. But some things to look at around the league. The day started off with a bang, fellas, as the Anaheim Ducks made a trade with the New Jersey Devils. And it saw Adam Henrique and Joe Blandisi go from New Jersey to Anaheim, and Sammy Vatanen headed east. And Sammy Vatanen was one of those guys that all we did was talk about him over the summer about how he was going to be available should the Knights take him. The Ducks ended up making a deal in order to keep Sammy Vatanen, ended up giving up Shea Theodore. Now Shea Theodore gone, Sammy Vatanen gone, all for naught on part of the folks, not all of the folks they were hoping to save, but he was one of them.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it from the Ducks' perspective, they need scoring and they need a forward, and Adam Henrique is that guy because Kessler's still out, Getzlaff has missed time. They're just so depleted on offense right now that they need somebody. The fact that they're where they are in the division is a credit to Randy Carlyle, and I've been one of his biggest adversaries. I've said I don't think that he's the greatest hockey coach in the world, but he's definitely getting a lot out of this team, and it's a you know, it's management saying, you know what, Randy, we're going to reward you. We're going to try to get you some help right now. And Vatanen has become a little bit expendable because Cam Fowler has played so well, because Brandon Montour has stepped up, because they have solid depth on the blue line. The Anaheim Ducks were able to move a piece that a lot of people coveted, and they were able to get something back in return. I think it's a good move for both sides because, again, the New Jersey Devils wanted a right shooting defenseman. They, you know, they wanted Kevin Shattenkirk. They didn't get him. And I think this is probably the better option to get Sami Vatanen. And yeah, you lose Adam Henrique, but you look at what they've got up front. Now they've got Taylor Hall. They've got Nico Hischier, Jesper Bratt. I mean, they've got guys that can put the puck in the net. So losing Henrique is not as bad as a blow as it was last year.
And you have to wonder, too, if this trade would have been made if it wasn't for the injury problems that the Ducks have. Missing three centers. Kessler hasn't played this season. Getzlaf has missed the last 14 games because of facial injuries. And Raquel has been out the past three games. So they are so depleted right now. And if you've watched any other games, you certainly know that. This kind of seemed like a move that they had to make just because at a certain point you have to do something because you mentioned it, Clayton. They didn't want to give this guy up. That's why they made some deals before the expansion draft. But at some point you've got to make a move.
And one of the things that's a positive for them, not just bringing in Henrique, but they get him not just this season, but they get him for next year as well.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you look at the situation, you say you don't move Cam Fowler because if you do – If you got Adam Henrique back in return, you overpaid, right? And you don't move Brandon Montour because Brandon Montour isn't going to get you Adam Henrique. You're going to have to give up something a little bit more. So Vatanen for Henrique to me is pretty much equal value. I have no real issue with the trade at all. I think it's going to help both sides. I think it's going to make Anaheim better in the immediate future. And it's also going to make them better next year because they're going to have more depth coming back in their forward core.
And for the New Jersey Devils, Frank, they're going to get Vatanen not just for this year, but they get him for two more years. And as we've seen, the New Jersey Devils certainly trending upwards.
Yeah, and let's face it, if they get him and he fits in and the team's been overachieving in a lot of people's mind up to this point and they like what they see, I'm sure that their plans is to hope that he can fill a role for them and try to sign him for a little bit longer down the road as well. New Jersey's one of those teams that they're building for the future, and right now everything looks like it's on the right track where they want to go. They are moving forward for sure.
One other minor trade between the Canadiens and the Rangers. The Canadiens have acquired Adam Krakenau from the New York Rangers in exchange for Peter Holland, two guys that are probably going to see a lot of time at the AHL level. But things could change, at least on the Rangers front, Ryan, in that Mika Zibanejad has been put out of the lineup indefinitely with a concussion.
Yeah, it's not good. We on this show are very aware of how important concussions are, how they should be treated. Obviously, Marc-Andre Fleury has been out for about 6 weeks now with a concussion. There's still no timetable yet for his return. It's a really tough blow for Mika Zibanejad and the New York Rangers, mainly because everything that they do offensively runs through him. He is their best offensive player. And we got a taste of that when the Golden Knights played the New York Rangers. And Mika Zibanejad took that game over in the third period. So it's going to be tough for New York to find goals and manufacture offense with him out of the lineup. Hopefully, it's one of those scenarios where it's I don't want to say a mild concussion, but he can recover quickly and get back faster than what we've come to expect with Marc-Andre Fleury. But you never know with brain injuries.
Well, like you mentioned, comparing it to Marc-Andre Fleury, this is Andre Fleury's fourth concussion. It seems like the more you get, the more susceptible you are, and really it's the third one in just about a season because he had two last year and he got a concussion early on in this season. So hopefully the Rangers will get their player back. And as far as the trade itself goes, it seems like one of those trades that you got to kind of look and wait for to see how it develops down the road because both of these players are still a little bit unknown.
And Zibanejad had led the Rangers with 11 goals, 22 points this year. He's been replaced on his line by David Desharnais, who's been playing with Chris Kreider and Pavel Buchnevich. And Chris Kreider's had a pretty good year to begin this season.
Yeah, I mean, Kreider's one of those young guys that you expect a lot out of. And the same thing with Buchnevich. He's getting a little bit more of a chance here. But, I mean, David Desharnais is not a top two center. He's simply not. And it's not an equal value to have to move him up into Zibanejad's place.
Another guy that was having a whale of a season to begin up in Vancouver, Derek Dorsett. He has announced that he will end his career for health reasons. He had had a cervical spine fusion surgery, Frank, there on December 5th. The latest evaluation of his neck revealed that a cervical disc herniation adjacent to and separate from his previous fusion there back in December of last year. He's just afraid another hit could go wonky, and that could be not just the end of his playing career, but the end of him being able to move his limbs and to walk, and so he's going to step away.
Yeah, and it's always scary stuff, too, and he's got to make the decision that's best for him, whether the doctors or anybody else says out there. If you're not confident getting out there and you're a little bit shaky, the neck and the back, there was nothing to toy with. I mean, hell, look at me. I was out for 4 weeks just because of sitting around, and all I do is sit on my butt and talk on a microphone. I can't even imagine going out on the ice right now and playing hockey or something like that. If there's some kind of hesitation about it, if you're afraid of it, then it's probably best to step aside.
Yeah, Derek Dorsett's one of those players that plays on an edge, and that's what makes him so effective. It's what's allowed him to play over 500 games at the NHL level. And when you play on that edge, you're more susceptible to taking bigger hits, and you're more susceptible to getting and drawing the ire of your opponents, and they are going to take runs at you. But, you know, he's playing with pain, and that's what it comes down to. You're playing with pain, and if you're one hit away from paralysis or not being able to enjoy your quality of life, it's time to hang him up. And it's a bittersweet thing for any hockey player to have to cut their career short, especially in Derek Dorsett's case, playing so well to start this season. But they're also human beings. They're family men. They're guys that take pride in what they do outside of the rink just as much as they do inside the rink. And, you know, if he's got to walk away, he's got to walk away. He's doing what's best for him and his family, and you got to respect that.
More bad news for the Oilers. Goaltender Cam Talbot was placed on injured reserve with an upper body injury that he sustained in a game versus the Arizona Coyotes on Tuesday. Not having a particularly good year, though. He was 10-10-1 with a 3-goals-against average and a .903 save percentage through 22 games.
Well, now it's up to Brossoit, to Laurent Brossoit, to hold down the fort for the Edmonton Oilers, because when things rain, they pour, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They also called up goaltender Nick Ellis from Bakersfield to be the backup.
Yeah, and when it comes to Brossoit, he was actually 4-4-1 last year, but he played better last year than he has been playing this year. He was 0-3-1 this season with only an .881 save percentage, so he has not been playing well, but then the whole team hasn't been playing well. And yeah, Talbot, one of those goalies that a lot of people are very high on. I know the Edmonton Oilers organization is high on him, but like you mentioned, Clayton, 10-10-1 this year, and it's actually a little bit over 3 goals a game that he's been giving up, so he hasn't played well. But again, is that Cam Talbot not playing well, or is that just a microcosm of the entire team this year, because the Edmonton Oilers are certainly underachieving?
A lot of fingers to be pointed in Edmonton for sure. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton along with Frank Harnish and Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. And Vegas Golden Knights fans, if you want to come out and see the team, check out the Naughty and Nice holiday packages at VegasGoldenKnights.com. Get the Naughty Pack, which includes 3 games against the Blue Jackets, Kings, and Flames, or the Nice Pack, which is the Predators, Canucks, and Coyotes. All the information on VegasGoldenKnights.com. Packages starting at $299. And if you want to come out and meet some of the fellas, they're going to have a night on the Strip at Cosmopolitan, the night with the Golden Knights up on the roof there at the Cosmo where they've put the ice rink. That's going to be on Wednesday, December 6th. It is an event that is open up to the public. You can swing on by and say hello. I believe it starts 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wednesday, December 6th at the Cosmo. Meet some of the Golden Knights. Chance will be there as well. Autograph opportunities. Go to GoldenKnights.com for all of the information. Some transactions today. Frank, we'll start with Lucas Spezza. He has been activated off of injured reserve, and David Perron and Will Carrier have officially been put on IR.
Yeah, and of course, you had a feeling that Perron and Carrier, they might be out for a while. Every time you ask about them, there's not really any updates, at least nothing positive. It's nice to see Spezza back, but we kind of had that feeling. We saw him in a red jersey the other day, but he's had the red jersey off for a little bit, so would have been almost surprised if he wasn't back for this road trip. And, you know, now how much they play in, how much everybody gets in and doesn't, well, that's still up to Gerard Gallant and the coaching staff.
All right, still up to Gerard Gallant. Lucas Spezza needed to have a move made in order for him to come back.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you definitely expect him to play tonight. I think that he's definitely drawing into the lineup. Probably Brad Hunt will be coming out just because we saw Hunt paired up mostly with John Merrill the last practice that we were able to see. Yeah, you know, it's good for Spezza to get back because he was part of the shutdown pair. He and Nate Schmidt played very well against elite top-line talent, and they shut down most of those players. They did it to Patrick Kane. They did it to Tarasenko. They've done it to a lot of high-name, high-recognition players, and that's what you got to love about Lucas Pisa's game. They've been the shutdown pair. It's good to see if – I don't know if we're going to get to see them together, though, because Spezza was practicing, I believe, with Colin Miller.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But hopefully they go back to Spezza and Schmidt. That's what I'd like to see.
He had been with Colin Miller mostly at practice. We'd seen mm-hmm. Braden McNabb move up and play with Nate Schmidt, and we wondered what perhaps the future held for Braden McNabb when Lucas Spezza came back, and that was certainly answered by the Golden Knights yesterday, mm-hmm. giving him a four-year, $10 million extension, a 2.5 annual average value. And George McPhee addressed that signing today, talking about Braden McNabb and how he was glad that he was going to be around.
Braden's performed very well for the Vegas Golden Knights. He's a real shutdown defenseman for us. He plays against the other team's best players, and it's nice to have that size to be able to snuff people out in front of the net and down low around the net. You need that size sometimes. He's got a long stick, uses it very well, and is excellent on the PK. We are delighted to have him. We are delighted to be able to claim him this summer, and with the growth in his game to date and the room for growth that is still there, we are really happy to extend him for 4 years.
A lot of questions to be had about the roster moving forward, particularly at the end of the year when we're going to see a lot of guys that hit the free agency wall. But one of those questions answered yesterday with what they feel about Braden McNabb.
Yeah, and you kind of wonder, too, is this the first domino falling where they're going to start trying to sign some of these guys and get some more players so we do have a better idea what the team's going to look like next year and maybe down the road. Good for McNabb, and you know what? I know a lot of people on Twitter, we had Jesse Granger in here yesterday, and he said that people were kind of blowing up about it. My bottom line is, if George McPhee sees something in him, who am I to question him?
And this is certainly good news for somebody like Jonathan Marchessault, who's going to be up for his contract at the end of the year, that the Golden Knights are willing to negotiate and do deals during the season, which we don't always see.
Yeah, I mean, if the Golden Knights aren't talking to Jonathan Marchessault right now, they're doing something wrong, because you want to try to lock this guy up as quickly as you can. He's proving right now that last year was not a fluke. He's closer to a 30-goal guy than he is a fourth-line player. And you got to like the leadership that he has in the locker room. You know that Gerard Gallant trusts him in situations that he might not trust other players just because he's familiar with him from Florida. And you don't want to wait too long, because if you wait too long and he continues to play this well, you're going to start getting trade offers, and it's going to cost you a lot more money. So I would try, if Jonathan Marchessault is part of your core, you want to try to lock him up as quickly as you can.
A guy that is certainly part of the core, you would think, moving forward is going to be Alex Tuch. He gets to return to Minnesota tonight. A double dip of guys heading home, with Eric Haula goes back to Minnesota as well. Nate Schmidt from the area played at the University of Minnesota. He gets to go back to his home and play tonight. And it's always been sort of the theme that it's fun for the guys to get back to where they were, and they want to knock the folks around a little bit. And Ryan got to catch up with Alex Tuch and ask him what they learned during the Dallas game that they're going to take on this road trip, and how much fun it's going to be to return to Minnesota.
I think we just got to play a full 60-minute game. I thought that we played. We actually did a lot of good things, and Coach told us today we played a pretty good game. I think we got away from it a little bit in the second half of the second period, and they were able to capitalize. So we got to play a full 60 minutes. We got to play hard and strong, and these are two big, fast, physical teams, and we got to match their intensity and try to get the first goal of the game, honestly.
Obviously, we know that you're familiar with the Minnesota organization. Is this game going to hold special meaning for you going back?
Oh, yeah. I just want to. Kind of want to kick their ass a little bit, part of my French, but no, it's good. I had an amazing experience being a part of the organization for a few years and being able to play for them for a few games, and I can't thank them enough for what they've done for me for my hockey career, and I wouldn't be where I am if they hadn't drafted me today, and I mean, everything kind of falls into place now, and being, I guess, a full-time NHLer, I got to thank them for it, because they really put a lot of time and effort into making me who the player I am today.
You were at development camp. You were at rookie camp, you're at training camp, you were sent down to the AHL, you got recalled. You've been a very, very good player for this hockey club, and you were skating with Eric Halla and you were skating with James Neal today. What does that opportunity mean to you, given all the work that you put in since joining this organization?
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot. It means I'm moving forward and getting better as a player, and that's it. It's a process. I'm a rookie this year, so hopefully I have a long career ahead of me, and I'm doing everything I can every day to get better, and I'm going to have two really good line mates on my line tomorrow, and it'll be really good to play against the Wild with them.
What are you looking to bring to that line?
I guess really good on the forecheck, turning pucks over, making space for my line mates, and getting in front of that net like I've been trying to do all year. And I think we had some good chemistry last night, and we just weren't able to capitalize on some opportunities, and I just kind of want to bring that fast physical style to the line.
And then playing with those two guys, what are you looking to learn from them out there on the ice, lined up with them?
James Neal starts a very creative and very skilled hockey player. I mean, he's got a lot of points in his career, and he's got a lot of wins under his belt, and he's a really special hockey player. So I want to see how he plays the game, and I guess just learning from every play, every little play. I mean, you look at guys, and being a bigger guy, you gotta watch everyone. It's the type of game now. It's fast, skilled. It's not like the big grit and grind like it used to be. So you got to make those little plays as a big guy too, and those in tight. And that's something that James Neal does really well, and that's why he's been in the league for so long. And then Eric Hall is a really fast up and down player. I mean, he's got a little chip on his shoulder against Minnesota, so it'll be fun to see. But watching him develop last year into this year, I think he's taken on a more offensive role, and it's suited him really well.
We're almost done with Movember. How do you feel you've done?
I think I've done really well. I think I came away with the first place, honestly, because I think I was the only one to actually start on November 1st, too. You can quote me on that and ask the other guys. They will lie to you, probably, but I was the only one to shade November 1st and start it. And I can thank my mom's side of the family for this nice, thick mustache I have.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
Thank you.
That was Alex Tuck. Looking forward to a homecoming this evening as the Golden Knights take on the Minnesota Wild. We will have the pregame show at 4:30, puck drop at 5. When we come back here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Jamie Hirsch from NHL Network is going to join us. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, going to break down this game for tomorrow. You're listening to the VGK Insider Show right here on Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Clayton Hamilton along with Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Frank Harnish on a game day. Golden Knights at the Minnesota Wild pregame show, 4:30, puck drop at 5. And we are pleased to welcome in somebody that's very close to the Minnesota Wild, used to do their pre- and post-game show for a while, from the NHL Network. Jamie Hirsch is with us. Welcome, Jamie.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. It worked out great that you were available today with the Golden Knights and the Minnesota connection.
I know, isn't that perfect? Yeah, I'm a Minnesota native, so they're definitely a team that's close to my heart. I worked for them for 3 years, and then now I'm obviously at NHL Network. But I will say that the Vegas Golden Knights have quickly become my second favorite team. I don't think we're supposed to have favorites, but I think all of us, even people that cover sports for a living, we're fans first. And I'm not too shy about saying, you know, I grew up a Minnesota sports fan in all sports. And so the Wild are, again, near and dear to my heart. But Vegas is so much fun to watch that I don't know how you cannot cheer for this team, because they're kind of a group of guys with a little bit of something to prove, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and they're blowing expectations out of the water. It's awesome.
And we've noticed that at the arena that there'll be a lot of people come in and they'll have a Blackhawks jersey on and a Vegas Golden Knights hat, and that's partly because who doesn't love coming to Vegas? So we think it's probably going to take a while for people to start to hate us.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you guys go on a deep playoff run, and then I'm sure you guys will have a lot of haters. But until then, everyone's cheering for the success of this team, I think.
So speaking of the playoffs, and obviously you mentioned that the Vegas is becoming one of your favorite teams to watch. Do you think that this team is for real in that they can stick around, continue to win games, and possibly contend for the playoffs this year?
I definitely do. I'm not so confident that I would say they're a Stanley Cup champion favorite at this point. But to make it into the playoffs, I absolutely think they're the real deal. Because, I mean, we always talk about that American Thanksgiving milestone kind of being a really good barometer of success. And if you're in the playoff picture at Thanksgiving, 80% of the time, you're in the playoff picture come April. And I mean, Vegas isn't just in the playoff picture. They're still first in the division right now. So I definitely am buying this team. I don't know if they're going to win the division. I think they've got, you know, they've still probably got a lull in them, as every team does at some point in the season. And we'll see, you know, if they can kind of take their home success, continue to play that on the road, that style of hockey. But I really think that they have a lot of good things going for them, and this is all without Marc-Andre Fleury. So the fact that they're first in the division on November 29th, I think we're at, what, November 30th now. November 30th, that's crazy. Without Marc-Andre Fleury, I don't think anybody would have predicted that.
I have to backtrack just a second because I'm trying to get into your mind here. Okay, so you're a Wild fan, although you're not supposed to have favorites, but hey, you know what? We're all Golden Knights fans out here, and we had our teams before that. So then you also like the Golden Knights. So does that mean that you hate the Dallas Stars since they left Minnesota?
You know, I was really young when they left, and so I didn't grow up with the kind of hatred that a lot of people do have in Minnesota for the former North Stars, now Dallas Stars. So I don't hate them, and I really don't hate any team. You know, I think once you start working at a national network and you cover all of the teams, you end up rooting for players, and that's at least been my experience where, you know, covering different teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs or then covering teams at things like the Winter Classic, or we're going to be at the All-Star game in Tampa this year. You get to know some of the players a little better and their families and how good of guys they are off the ice, or how fun they are to interview, things like that, and then you end up cheering for guys like that. So it's become less and less about teams that, you know, I used to really not like the Blackhawks at all, for good reason. As someone who worked for the Wild, they ended our, you know, playoff run 3 years in a row, and it was devastating.
Yes.
But now, you know, I've met Patrick Kane, I've interviewed him several times, Jonathan Toews, great guy. I love Marian Hossa. I know he's not playing this year, but Corey Crawford, same thing. So it's hard to really have that same level of rivalry, you know, hatred when you meet these guys behind the scenes and think, okay, like, they're people too. We're all, you know, we all cheer for our respective teams, but at the end of the day, we just cheer for hockey.
You know, it's funny that you bring up players because there's one guy that we are absolutely enamored with here in Vegas, and that's Alex Tuch. Obviously, he was one of the pieces that we got in the expansion draft from the Minnesota Wild. How much do you wish Alex Tuch was still a part of the Minnesota Wild?
I say this on a weekly basis because it seems like he's always making plays. Even if he's not scoring goals, he's everywhere on the ice. He's so visible. And so I make that comment anytime he does something really impressive. I'm like, you know, the Wild had him. Dang. Yeah, he's definitely something. I don't know him personally because he wasn't with the team. It's been, you know, this is my third season now at NHL Network, so it's been a little while since I was in Minnesota. But they loved him there. I was a little surprised that he was you know, left unprotected, and so it's crazy to see his kind of success now, but I'm not surprised at all.
We've seen Bruce Boudreau have some fits and starts when it comes to this Wild team, and he's always good to watch in the press conference because sometimes he always is like, you know, I've done my job, but the players didn't execute. Do you think that at what point will that run thin with his locker room?
That's a great question. You know, I don't think it's reached that point, and I have tremendous respect for what he's done with all the teams that he's coached over the years. But it is interesting to hear him take that approach because a lot of coaches always protect the players. But, you know, I think in a room of guys that are still kind of in a developmental stage, I mean, there are a lot of guys on the Wild team that aren't fully developed yet, that he wants to see more out of, and I think maybe that message does resonate with them. So we can only, you know, time will tell. The Wild aren't exactly firing on all cylinders right now, so I don't know. That's a really great question, but I think his track record speaks for itself. I know there's some question marks when it comes to playoffs and his success there, but in terms of the regular season, there aren't many coaches that know how to win divisions like Bruce Boudreau.
We know that injuries are part of every team. Every team's going to go through them every season. But it seems like Minnesota has had more injuries than the average team, and especially when you take a guy like Zach Parise, who has basically missed the season this year. He's had injury problems in the past as well. How much does his being injured hurt this team, not just from on the ice, but also in the locker room?
I think it definitely hurts. You know, he's a guy that's been to the Stanley Cup final before. He was a captain for so many years in New Jersey, and I think he is a huge voice. He's the pulse of that team in a lot of respects, and so it must have been hard for them to be without him this whole time. And they have been lucky to get most of their other guys back. I know Jared Spurgeon is out now with a groin injury tonight, but mostly Minnesota's gotten healthy with the exception of Zach Parise. So, you know, I don't know if I would say they've been hurt more than Vegas, though, by injury, because it's hard to say that when you look at the decimation of your guys' goalies. I mean, it's amazing, again, that you are in first place. And Malcolm Subban's been spectacular, but the fact that, you know, you guys were down to third and fourth string goalies for a while there is just incredible how the rest of the team really stepped up, and the guys in goal too.
Jamie Hirsch from the NHL Network joining the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about, the Marcus Foligno, Tyler Ennis trade for Marco Scandella. What are your thoughts on that trade so far as it's worked out for the Minnesota Wild?
I think it's worked out really well. I know Jason Pominville really well, and his wife Kim, and their two beautiful kids, and I really liked them a lot, liked his fit in Minnesota. But, you know, he was a pretty streaky goal scorer, and he is obviously a year after year getting older. So I think for them to get him a new start in Buffalo, to have him return there closer to where, you know, his wife's from Montreal, and they have family there, he's from out there, I think that ended up working out well for him. And in terms of production, I think the Wild got the better end of that deal so far. We'll see how it all shakes out eventually. But I think it was a good deal for both teams, and I think so far we've seen Minnesota get the better of it.
Shifting gears to the Golden Knights, the narrative at the beginning of the year was going to be, can Marc-Andre Fleury keep them close enough that James Neal can score enough goals for them to win? And that was certainly what happened in the first two games. But since then, it's really been a divided roster in terms of how many people have been able to score. What do you think has been the attributing factor that's allowed so many people to get involved offensively for Vegas?
Yeah, well, you guys are, you know, you have the pulse of the dressing room, so I'm sure you know a lot more about what motivates these guys. But from an outsider's perspective, I think it has to go back to the idea that these are guys who kind of were, you know, the island of misfit toys in a way, you know, where they all were thrown together suddenly, you know, with no loyalty to this team or whatever, and they, nobody really gave them a chance, and they all, you know, they're competitors, they're proud people, they're great, talented players, and we've seen guys that may not have gotten as big of a chance, like an Alex Tuck or a Wild Bill Carlson, as we've been calling. Have you guys been calling him Wild Bill, by the way, or is that
yes.
just a thing that
yes.
we
okay. Yes, yeah, absolutely, yep.
Fantastic, because I think we started doing that. I think I got to pull out a cowboy hat here one of these nights when I'm talking about Vegas, because I love that, and he's been so fun to watch. And even a Marcius, though, I mean, talk about a bargain. He has been incredible, and for the contract that he's under, I mean, man, I don't think there's a better bargain out there for the kind of production that he's putting up. So I'm sure Florida is kind of kicking itself, Tampa's kicking itself, and anyone who had him at one point is saying, wow, he's going to be a star.
On the Wild Bill front, we asked him where that nickname came from, and he sort of blushed and looked away and said, it's probably because I'm shy.
Oh, that's precious. I love that. That's great. So, but has he embraced it? Does he like it?
Yeah, he has.
That's good. That's great. You know, yeah, I mean, James Neal looked like the guy to shut down, but you're right. I mean, it's such a balanced scoring attack that Vegas has right now. It's hard to shut any line down, so it's been awesome. And Eric Howla, I know him really well, too, from his time in Minnesota. I know he's been a big factor, along with Nate Schmidt, who I also covered at Minnesota when he was with the Gophers. So I've got all kinds of ties to this Vegas team. So does it make more sense now? I'm kind of on your guys' little bandwagon here.
No, it's great. And you mentioned the Isle of Misfit Toys thing, and we've talked about it here several times. Every one of these guys has a little bit of chip on their shoulder because they weren't protected by teams, and that's how they became available to Vegas. But that also goes to the coaching staff as well. And Gerard Gallant, from being in the conversation for Coach of the Year, then getting fired in a parking lot while the bus is driving away, now coming back here, he's kind of the guy that's leading the whole team. And sometimes teams kind of encapsulate what their coach is about, and sometimes they don't. And generally when they do, there's success. And that seems to be one of the reasons for success out here in Vegas. What can you tell us about Gerard Gallant? Because I hear people at the quarter point of the season here talking about Coach of the Year, and I'm amazed when I don't see people throwing his name in that conversation.
Oh, I definitely think his name should be in that conversation. There's no question that what he's done is amazing in Vegas, and I think you're right. I think that a team takes on the characteristics of their head coach. And I remember that night when Gallant was fired in Florida. I was working the late show on the fly, and it was a huge scramble, and then the pictures started coming out of him going in the cab, and then some of the tweets came out of people talking to the players who were just so upset that Gallant was fired. And so that told me right then that, you know, his players have tremendous respect for him. He's a player's coach, to be sure, and I think it was a huge mistake on Florida's part, at least in the handling of the firing. It certainly wasn't a good look with the whole cab and the photos getting out and everything. But I got a chance to sit down with Gerard back 2 years ago during the All-Star game, which he was a coach at, in Nashville. And I was so impressed by just, you know, how nice he was, but also just how smart he was. And he had nothing but great things to say about all the players that, you know, he didn't even know that well, that weren't even on his team, but that were in Nashville that weekend for All-Star game and everything. And I have tremendous respect for what he's done on the ice. And I think you're definitely spot on when it comes to him being a large reason that Vegas is in first place right now. And I would be shocked if he wasn't a finalist for the Jack Adams.
We've seen what Malcolm Subban has done, Oscar Dansk, Max Lagasse, Dylan Ferguson. We around here have gotten to know David Pryor a little bit and have started calling him the goalie whisperer. How much is he on the national radar, or are people talking about the job that he's done?
Not enough. That's all I can say. Not enough. I know Kevin Weeks here at NHL Network is so locked in with all the goalie coaches and gives them a ton of love, both on the air and off the air, because he knows from personal experience how important a goalie coach is to an organization and to a goalie's personal success. But you're right. I mean, we should be talking a lot more about him, because, yes, it was the team in front of whoever was in goal night after night, but it's also the goalie, too, for all of those guys to have stepped up the way that they did, especially in that stretch immediately following Fleury's injury and Subban's injury. It's been remarkable. So, I can't wait till you guys do you travel as well? Did you come out here for the New York trip?
No, we do all of the pre and post from the arena, and then we do it from local establishments out here, like viewing parties. So we don't get to travel.
Okay, well, maybe next year. But yeah, when they were out here, I had to work the night that they were in New York. But it's just so fun. It's like the traveling circus right now. Everyone wants to go see the Golden Knights, and I know a lot of people, including my husband, who's a huge Wild fan, who are trying to plan trips to Vegas around when their hockey team is going to be visiting the Golden Knights. So going to be a hugely successful franchise, and I'm so happy that it's finally all coming to fruition after so much waiting for this to happen.
When it comes to the success of this team, we've heard a lot of people saying, oh, they're doing it with smoke and mirrors, or it's the Vegas flu. At what point do people start giving this team credit that they might actually be a pretty good hockey team? Because it seems like more and more some of the people in the media and some of the other teams in the NHL are already on that side of the equation.
Yeah, I don't like that argument at all, or that rationale for Vegas's home ice advantage, because I think that discredits the professionality of our hockey players. I mean, I know enough hockey players to know that most of them are very serious about getting their sleep, eating right, watching what they put into their body. And so to just assume that guys are just going out there and partying on the strip, and that's why they're playing not so well against the Golden Knights the next day, I think that's disrespectful in a large sense to our great NHL players out there. I'm sure a couple guys go out and have a good time, but I really like to think that by and large, a lot of these guys I know from experience just are very committed to, you know, being ready physically, mentally, having slept well before a game. So I would like to think that Vegas is still getting a team's, you know, grade A effort night in and night out, and they're still winning. So I think that goes back to giving credit where credit is due, and that's to the Golden Knights being a good team.
Yeah, I really agree with you on that one. Now, one of the questions that I have is looking at the expansion draft rules this year for the Golden Knights, and then obviously Commissioner Bettman's decision just to expand to Vegas and not to Quebec. Does the success of the Golden Knights off the bat, does it validate his decisions in expansion, the rules, and expansion to Vegas?
I think it does validate the decision of the expansion draft rules. I mean, I know that when they said that they wanted to do it this way, everyone thought, oh, yeah, you know, they say it's going to be more competitive, but it really won't be. Well, I think we saw firsthand that it did work to keep it a little restricted as far as how many players each team can protect. I mean, there were stars. James Neal is a star. Marc-Andre Fleury is a star. There are big names that were available for Vegas to take, and so Jonathan Marchessault, another one. So I think it was a great idea to set it up that way, and I think Vegas, because, you know, just it being a really cool city to be in and live in. And I think another thing is people always think that Vegas is just the Strip. And I'm friends with Jason Zucker and his wife, Carly. And Jason's from Vegas, as you I'm sure know. And they spend their summers out there every year. And, you know, I was actually meeting up with them during the NHL Awards, and they're saying there's so much more to Vegas than just the Strip. So to have a team there, I think, might make people realize, like, this is a great place to live. It's a great place to visit. There's so much more here than the hotels and the gambling and whatnot. And I think it's been a great fit for a sports team. And hopefully the Golden Knights can kind of set up good enough roots, strong enough roots, so that when the Raiders come in, nobody forgets about the Golden Knights, too. That's my only fear.
And it's certainly been a fun ride thus far. And thank you, Jamie, for joining us. You can watch Jamie host NHL Tonight at 5:30 Pacific Time and host NHL Network's nightly recap show On the Fly, featuring all the highlights, interviews, and analysis. Visit NHLNetwork.com for your local channel listings. And we hope that next time they send you out to fabulous Las Vegas, you'll stop in and say hello and come join us live.
That would be great. I know I keep saying we need to do On the Fly from Vegas, and I will go whenever.
All right. We look forward to seeing that, and have a good show this evening.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is Jamie Hirsch from the NHL Network. When we come back, Ryan, Frank, and I are going to give some thoughts about tonight's game. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in Las Vegas. Welcome back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. We're going to be back with you at 4:30 for the pregame show. Puck drop at 5 o'clock, intermission reports and postgame as well, as the 15-7-1 Golden Knights head to Minnesota for the first time to play the 11-10-3 Wild. And fellas, what are you going to look for in tonight's game? Start with you, Frank.
Now, first off, I'm looking forward to heading up to Parkway Tavern and checking it out there, 215 in Flamingo, so come and join us over there. I'm looking forward to see how they bounce back. The last time that they had a really bad game, they bounced back when they lost to Edmonton in Edmonton. They played well after that. They did not play well in the Dallas game. And really, the whole game wasn't totally bad for them, but that second period, and certainly the last 30 seconds of the second period, was absolutely crucial. This team has bounced back before. I'm hoping that they can do it again, and I'd love to see Tuck, Holla, and Schmidt, all the guys with Minnesota ties there, do something positive in the game.
I'm looking for a goalie duel. I think Malcolm Subban and Devan Dubnyk, they're going to put on a show, and I think that it's probably going to be a low-scoring game, and I want to see if Vegas can win one of those games, if they can win a game where they have to battle for 30, 40 minutes just to get to the front of the net to cash in on that one opportunity they get.
And homecomings, certainly the theme. Alex Tuck headed home where he played his very first NHL game. Eric Halla, been a staple on their team for a few years. And Nate Schmidt, let's not forget about him, headed back to where he played his college hockey in his hometowns. And a lot of fans in the audience tonight, I'm sure, for both of those guys. Once again, 4:30 is your pregame show. 5 o'clock puck drop from Minnesota. Vegas Golden Knights at the Wild. Join us, Parkway Tavern, 215 in Flamingo, if you're in the neighborhood. Stick around. TC Martin Show is next. The doctor is in the house.